Blog Talk Radio.
Rashid Salam, your engineer for this tonight's show on IWDM Radio, Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our show, guys, the listening audience, in our interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children. And our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. So I'll bring to you your host for tonight's show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners, nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed over 1,444 years ago, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, and the producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudeen of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. That's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And Dr. Slaudeen and I would like to welcome those who may be listening for the first time. And we want you to know that this is, in fact, your learning lab. We invite you to ask questions and to make comments on any of the information that we disseminate tonight or in even previous learning labs. And for those of you that want to do that, you have to press 1. And for those of you who may be listening in by way of the Internet, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. We do invite you to bring an open mind and open heart to this learning lab, and we also invite you to bring your pen and pad. Perchance there will be some noteworthy things that will be said tonight, and you might want to take down a note as you listen to Dr. Slaudeen and myself, and you might want to ask a question for even further elaboration on that. We also want to give some staples for this learning lab, as it is for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that we use as a foundational source of information. It starts with Al-Quran, and then it is the life examples of Prophet in the demonstration of the Quran, in living the Quran. And thirdly, is a tafsir, that is the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad on the Quran and the life example of the Prophet. We also want you to know that we have followed in the direction and the instruction of Imam W.D. Muhammad in terms of definition. In definition, his direction. And I've also added correction in regards to that. We have given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We say parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, the spiritual, development of our children, from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and big responsibility that we actually have as parents, and we want to dismiss the misnomer that this is the role and the responsibility of the mother only. No, it's also the role of the father also in these vital components that comprise the holistic human being. We also say here on the Learning Lab that it is the role and responsibility of both parents to raise these children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their family, their community. And we say, inshallah, that simply means, God willing, you as parents, understanding your role and responsibility that you have to your children, and having that mindset and disposition that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking and parenting. Also, outside of Almighty God, Allah being the first teacher for all of his human creation, he has given the honor and distinction to the mothers to be the first teachers and leaders, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. She is the one that will be given the foundational knowledge, not only to our baby girls, but to our baby boys. And for those of you who might be tuning in for the first time, it has been a tradition here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to always have an overview for the last episode that we had here. And for that, go to our very distinguished and esteemed host of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, my partner, Dr. Patricia Slaudeen. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Slaudeen. How are you?
Wa alaikum as-salam, Mark. I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine, always amped up on Wednesday for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. As you well know, this is the first social unit in human society. So if we're going to ever get things right and we're going to remake the world, it's going to have to start in that first social unit, which is the family life. Back to you, Dr. Slow D.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I want to make sure that my sound is...
You're sounding excellent.
Okay.
You're good. Coming across
okay,
real
good.
Good.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome again to our family and parenting and family reconstruction learning lab. And if you want to hear the entire episode of our past show, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. This episode that we're summarizing this week is episode August the 24th, 2022. And, of course, our resource is Parenting Skills based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ephraim and Dr. Muhammad Rita Bashir. And the book can be purchased from Amana Book Publications at www.amana-publications.com and also at amazon.com. This episode continues with Chapter 1, Self-Search. And in Chapter 1, the authors give us, the reader, six steps to implement the self-search: search, evaluate, acknowledge, reinforce, change, and hang on. The purpose of completing the self-search process is to make sure that what parents say and do have the proper impact on their children. It also helps children to build a strong, balanced personality, have a positive look on life, and for them to become confident. The first step, search, is the process of searching within ourselves and reviewing all the actions and parental behaviors that we use with our children. We start by digging deep into our past to uncover reasons that might be the source of our parental behavior. The authors provided a 10-point questionnaire to conduct the self-search. And during the last episode, we discussed the remaining letters of the acronym SEARCH, starting with the letter A. We completed S and E. Now we're on A for acknowledge. Under acknowledge, we learn acknowledging our strengths and weaknesses is the first step in improving our parental behavior. We put our trust in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make a commitment to positive change. We change unhealthy habits, and this is the key to success. Positive behavior is practicing positive behavior agrees with Islamic teachings, are suitable for the environment, and help our children become strong and confident Muslims. And then negative behavior mainly stems from inherited traditions, have no basis in Islamic teachings, may not be suitable for creating an environment to helping our children become strong and confident Muslims. And the next letter is reinforce the positive behaviors and keep practicing them with our children. Remember, the month of Ramadan is the time that we reinforce positive behavior. And during the month of Ramadan, we practice positive behavior for 30 days with the intent of making those behaviors permanent. We avoid getting angry and expressing it. We practice speaking to the right and many other practices that would get us closer to Allah. And the letter C, change positive behaviors and replace them with change negative behaviors and replace them with positive ones. And Brother Mark reiterated that change is an inside job. It takes hard work to make change, so we have to be patient and keep trying. When seeking to change our bad habits or negative parenting behaviors, we should follow the advice of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, which is that we should always make the prayer of need, Salatul Hajjah. Allah said that he will not change the condition of a person until they meet the prerequisite of having the willingness to change their hearts. One's God consciousness will help to make change for the better. And the dua, there's a dua for a dua for asking Allah for help. Oh Allah, give us that which is good in this work, and that which is good in the hereafter in this world, and that which is good in the hereafter, and keep us from the torment of the fire. And that is, can be found in chapter 2, verse 201 of the Quran. The authors gave us several steps to making change, and one is being patient, enduring, being sincere, and setting goals. Identify the in order to set goals, you have to identify the needed change, design a plan to make the change, set steps to each goal, seek gradual change, understand that things don't happen overnight, and trust in Allah and pray and make our du'as. And the last letter is H, and we did complete H. Hang on, do not give up. Changing behavior is a long process. It does not happen overnight. The reward is tremendous if we work hard to become a better parent. We share two of the author's examples of positive and negative parent behavior. And we learned that from those examples, we learned that parents should make positive comments to specific positive behavior or actions by their child. Do not praise the child continuously if the child has not made any effort, and do not call your child names or insult them. And in conclusion, the self-search six-step process set a strong foundation on which to continue to build and develop better parenting skills. Tonight, we will continue with examples of positive and negative behaviors. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah. That simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, first and foremost, always. And want to just say takbir, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater, bigger, and more important. Excellent, excellent overview. Once again, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, thank you so much for highlighting those things that we had last week. And as Dr. Slaudine said, you can access the whole entire production last week. I think you will find it very informational. Excellent six-step. I'm hoping that our radio listening audience, we didn't have very much participation last week, but I'm hoping that you take that down so that you can really, really assess yourself in terms of your parenting skills. You can see what it is that you really need to how to evaluate yourself, how to acknowledge the good things that that you have done, the things that you really need to work on, how to reinforce those things, and the need for change. And this is an inside job, as we said last week. And Allah has said in the Quran, He gives us, you know, lets us know that that's a prerequisite for even summoning Allah's help. It says that, you know, the heart, some say the soul, but we know that's internal. And we know that we have to change something internally. We have to change the intention, the motivation, the desire that it is that we have for to get Allah's help in making things better for us. And we should all want to be better parents. We should want to be better parents. We might have been good, but we want to be better. And then we want to qualify to be the best. You know, so you don't get a do-over in terms of parenting. So many grandparents say, I'm a better parent now as a grandparent than I was when I was a parent. So, and it becomes apparent to them in that regard. So listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab will actually be a benefit to you. You don't have to be a Muslim. So those of you who are Muslims, invite family members. Invite friends, associates, neighbors, yes, and invite other community members to please tune in and listen in and to be participants. Okay, Dr. Slaudine, I am really excited about tonight's production that we have here as we move to another subtopic here on the first chapter in terms of self-search. And what do you have for us tonight? And we do want to invite our radio listening audience. You hear something You understand that you'd like to ask a question, make a comment, too, please press 1. And we're going to check in with you a little bit later on in this production to see if, in fact, anything that was said tonight resonate with you. So at least let us know if anything tonight resonate with you. Back to you, Dr. Slaudine.
Okay, Moon. So tonight we are going with continuing with the positive examples of positive and negative parental behavior. Last week we dealt with two, and this week this one, the one we're starting with is responding to disrespect. Now, how do we handle that in a positive way? The author says that Islam promotes respect in all relationships. It is very important. And a very important part of the Muslim personality. However, our children are surrounded by a culture that does not promote respect.
Yes.
Our children are affected by this culture and may sometimes respond to their parents and to other elders in the community in a disrespectful way. Parents have to correct this behavior. If they correct it in the proper way using a proven successful method, and they're going to share that with us at the end of this particular chapter. This is a positive parental behavior. However, if they ignore this behavior or correct it in a harsh way by yelling or shouting or in a humiliating way by correcting the child in front of other siblings or friends, this is a negative parental behavior. And then I'm going to stop there because you may want to make – I wanted to say that to support the statement that our children are surrounded by a culture that does not promote respect. It is, now this book was written several years ago. So you can imagine if it was bad then, it's out of control now. This book was written and edited in 2004. This is 2022. And it didn't get any better. It's gotten worse. The television, the shows, sometimes you watch television shows with children and parent interaction, and you just appall at what the script is for these children to say to their parents. So,
yes.
And of course, our children are listening and hearing these things, and of course, it comes out. You know, you can hear children responding to their parents or responding to you. You know, they're not your child, but you ask the child something, nope, and yeah. You know, so, and,
yeah.
It's very difficult to
yes.
even observe that.
Yes, alhamdulillah, no, you're right on point there. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I'm glad the Bashirs began with saying that respect is in accordance with all relationships. This is very, very important. We start with the first in terms of the ultimate respect. The ultimate respect and reverence is that we have to have for our Lord and Creator. This is why it's so very important, dear believers, that as you listen in, that you establish that as early as you possibly can. When our children begin to speak and begin to question things and ask questions and all, you always, as often as you possibly can, and this is not in the book. This is an experienced parent with a lot of experience. 7 children, a lot of experience. And I've learned a lot over the years. I was the teacher of my children, but I also was a student of my children, meaning that I studied them, but I also observed them. And a lot of this is based on personal experience. So what it is that we have to do is to begin to teach our children about Allah, the Creator, and how we should reverence Allah, you know, all that it is that God has given to us, and that we need to respect Allah's natural creation. But when we are teaching our children about the natural creation that Allah has given to us, depending on the age and stage that they are, we have to also let them know that Allah also communicates with his human beings through the word of revelation. Now, this is very, very important. Even though they may be very young, they need to begin to start the hearing you as a parent speak to them in that regard. What this brings about is not only the respect, the reverence that they would have for God, the Creator, but also the love that they will have for God and the Creator, the appreciation, the gratefulness, the gratitude. They will begin, you begin to nurture and cultivate that attitude of gratitude and respect. And then that trickles down to who next? It would be the parents. And if the mother is, as we have stated here, there's the honor and distinction has been given to the mother, and she's very knowledgeable and educated in the religion of Al-Islam, then that trickles down to the mother and also the father. If, in fact, that they're consciously regardful of their role and responsibility to their child. So, yes, what both Drs. Bashir Muhammad and Ikram Bashir have given is excellent, because all of our relationships should be based on respect. But they didn't say that in terms of that the first relationship is the foundation. That's the relationship with your Lord and Creator. And you can begin very, very early on in their life in terms of begin to talk about what the Creator has given to us. And we did nothing for it. We didn't have to do anything for it. This is very, very important. And then as they grow older, you begin to talk to them about the Creator didn't just create her, and we are part of creation. Let them know we are part of creation. But the Creator didn't just create us and just leave us. Just as parents, you wasn't just birthed, and then your parents ran away. They left you. They didn't take care of you. They didn't nourish you. They didn't try to sustain the life. They didn't try to protect the life. They didn't try to grow or evolve the life. So when we're saying that to them, we actually are giving to them revelation from the Quran, and that this is what Allah does first and foremost. Everything He creates that is animated, it has a life. He nourishes it. He sustains it. He guards and protects it. And He evolves it. You see? And then we have to let them know the importance of not only that, but the importance of His word of revelation. It, for the spiritual aspect or the abstract that you can't see, and we need to have these type of conversations with our children. Say, you know, you can't see the internal me until I communicate with you. And this is the way God communicates with His human being. This is why Imam Muhammad said, words make people. Words make people. I want everybody to remember that the best words that make people are the words of revelation, words that are revealed to the human being for the construction of human life. And as the authors have said, that this permeates, this is prevalent in the religion of Al-Islam, where respect is due in every relationship, not only, you know, parent-to-child relationship, husband-to-wife relationship, neighbor-to-neighbor relationship, community member-to-community member relationship, business relationship, all the relationships that you can think of, it has to have that foundation. And if, in fact, that we have the utmost of respect for our Lord and Creator, that becomes a trickle-down effect to everybody. It is that we encounter in our life that we also are to show respect for. And, yes, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, this becomes even that much more significant in beginning to establish the culture. Yes, the culture. In the home environment, in the family environment. This is very important because, as Imam Muhammad has said, and we have witnessed this, and Dr. Slaudin, you just said that this book was written back a few years back. So you're in competition, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, guardians, with the popular culture. And so they're not supporting the principles and the values that are important to us. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. So when we talk about respect, even in terms of how to respond to their parents, Dr. Slaudin indicated, yeah, no, So when we were coming up, we couldn't do that. You couldn't even just shake your head. You had to respond. This is intelligent. And this is what it is that we have to nurture and cultivate, even in our children, intelligence. Allah has given us intelligence, but it has to be nurtured and cultivated. And having respect for this creation and having respect for what it is Allah has given to us. So parenting is a big role, a big responsibility. And it's appreciation for what it is the Creator has given to us. And we're not doing our job, and we're not performing our role and responsibility when we allow our children to just address us any kind of way. So therefore, what are some of the things that we can do? We have to monitor. It's Dr. Salahuddin, and this is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So when you come here, we're going to make these type of suggestions. You have to invest more time with your children. Don't send them away to the television all the time. Don't let them just have the freedom to be online playing games or just doing what they want to do. Invest some time in them. So that you know you can account for the time, you understand, that they're being occupied with you in a learning experience. Play fun games with them and all of this. And then have them play games with each other so that they respect other family members. All of these things, you understand, are very, very important when we start talking about respect. But if you're sending them away to something that you already know, that probably should be censored, or maybe they shouldn't even be watching at all, then it should not be surprising how they respond to you. So the first culture that should be established in a halal way, which that which is permissible, but that which is healthy. See, halal is just not dealing with food. It's dealing with the holistic life of the Muslim, of the believer. You have to establish that halal environment. I could keep going, Dr. Slaudin, but I think I said enough. I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDN Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab here with Dr. Patricia Slaudin and Mark Shaheed. And tonight we are talking about how to respond to disrespect. We got a couple of examples that we're going to be giving. But Dr. Slaudin and I would love to hear from you. When you was raised up and there was disrespect, how did your mother respond to disrespect? And then how, if you had children, how did you deal with that? And what do you think today as we live in this present time, how should we deal with that? We would love to hear from you. You can do that by pressing 1. And for those of you who might be listening in by way of the Internet, we'd like to hear from you. And you have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. We'd love to hear from you. Please be a participant. This is your learning lab. Back to you, Dr. Slaudin.
Okay, Mark. Thank you for those very important facts and details and suggestions for our parents. We really appreciate that. The next negative or positive behavior is haya, and that word means decency, modesty, bashfulness, morality, and humility. It is a very important, noble, and cherished characteristic in Islam, to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, peace and blessings be upon him, said, there is a characteristic for every deen, every religion. And the characteristic of Islam is haya. So, and the authors go on to say that it's unfortunate the culture surrounding our children does not promote this concept of haya. And they can see, as we see all over the lyrics, the movies, the commercials, the magazines, you name it, in terms of the media, print or visual, whatever the case may be, the way we dress, the way our children are influenced by their dress and their behavior in the public. They're influenced by what they see in these various mediums. So, again, our children are affected by this culture and may on some occasions behave in ways, in a way that does not reflect haya. And parents have to correct this behavior as well. If they correct it in the improper way, it won't be successful. So our authors have given us some suggestions as to how we can, and we'll discuss that later, how to correct them in the proper way.
Yes, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that Arabic term in terms of haya. You know, this is very important, dear believers, if your parents or your grandparents, in terms of knowing that this is reflective oftentimes in the culture, as Dr. Slaudin has said, you want to look in terms of modesty and decency. This is in the Quran in terms of revelation. Allah gives us guide in terms of how it is that we should dress. It's not just for the Muslim woman after they become an adult. Our young girls, you understand, are growing up, and they're coming from infanthood to childhood, really to adulthood. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know in that regard, in terms of even pubescence and all. And this is very, very important, because when Allah, it gives us the instructing sign, the verses in the Quran are instructing signs to us. It is a message to us. It is the same message for Muslim men, males, believers, as it is for women. This is a misnomer in that only the woman has to be modest in her dress. Men have to be modest in their dress too. And we have to begin to start teaching our children at an early age in terms of modesty, decency. You see, because in the culture, it doesn't promote that. It promotes the opposite. Let it all hang out, you know. A brother and I was just talking last week, and we was talking about even the dress now. They rip pants and have, you know, different things in terms of shirts or pullovers, and they actually sell them in the stores. The more rips they have, the more it costs. Never go it. It sounds funny, but it's true. And there was a time when we wore jeans, and if you had a hole where the knee was, your mother got some of those type of patches. Some of them were sewed on, but then some of them were the iron-on type patches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't considered to be decent to have on pants with a hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
But now they sell you pants. They sell you clothing that's ripped, partially ripped, or with holes in it. It seems like the more holes and the more exposure, the more it costs. The less clothing you have, the more it costs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it's so important. I can't underscore it enough in terms of producing the culture that actually will have an effect on the behavior. Matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it best in the Quran. But the human being behaves according to the own, not only disposition, but also socialization. This is an important note, and this is very important, that Allah has already addressed that. So when we look at the behavior, we go to the Quran, and Allah is giving us instructing signs. The behavior is reflected in terms of the disposition that our children actually get. But the disposition is coming from the socialization and acculturation. So therefore, it's very, very important that we as parents, in terms of having the social climate and establishing the culture that it is, and then the rationale that should accompany that, because many of our children are going to question us, well, how come I can't wear jeans with holes in them? How come I can't expose myself with a partial tank top? They want to know that. Why? Because they want to be accepted. And what we have to do is talk to our children and assure them that you have leadership qualities. But you got to understand that everything you do, it should make good sense for you to do it. So you don't want to be like my grandmother used to say, hey, monkey see, hey, monkey do. We don't want that. And so we have to speak to our children in regards to that. And we have to help them to arm themselves when they speak to their peers and say why they dress the way they dress. You know, you have to make an appeal to the conscience of even young people. And if parents and other elder people would take time to talk to their children, they could have a great impact or influence on the thinking of our young people. But when we just let them go, even our Muslim children, they're not exempt from the negative influences. Back to you, Dr. Slaudin.
Well, that's for sure. Our children are definitely not exempt from the negative influence, and it's a struggle more so today than it ever was before. The next point that our authors make is pertaining to friends and acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
The author says children need friends in their lives to interact and build relationships with. If parents recognize and acknowledge this need, help fulfill it, and explain the proper criteria for selecting those friends to their children. This is a positive parental behavior. If parents simply don't pay attention to this need or indifferent about it and think that it is enough for their children to interact with their siblings, this is a negative parental behavior. So this one is regarding to having friends for your children and knowing and understanding that children do need friends, and just playing with their siblings is not enough. And I'd like to add, although the authors did not speak to this, but
mm-hmm.
I think it's important in terms of friends and acquaintances that parents are very careful about who their children select as friends. And of course, being careful, the authors didn't make mention of explaining to the children the proper criteria for selecting friends. And I would go a step further, just not explaining the criteria, but actually paying attention to their friends, knowing who their friends are, and if possible, getting to know the family members of the friends. So it's not just to explain the criteria, but also when the child has selected a friend, get to know the friend.
Yes, you know, some very valuable points that you made. You know, as I was listening to you, Dr. Slaudin, it just took me aback. When I was coming up, and probably when you was coming up, and Rashid was coming up, and maybe some of our early people that are listening to this broadcast in regards to friends. You know, I'm going to say a couple of things here, and we've heard it before. I know when I was coming up, I heard it. Everybody is not your friend. Everybody's not your friend, you know. But this establishing the criteria, we have to go back to the stages in which all of our children come through. They come through the imprinting stage, 0 to 7. They come through the modeling stage, 8 to 14. And then after that, they come into the socializing stage. This is when they begin to start the socializing with others and really want to establish a bond in terms of friendship. We also have to know that it is human nature to want to be connected, accepted, mm-hmm. and in a nurturing environment.
Right.
This is human nature. This is both for males and females. So why are you stating this, Mark Shaheed? Because it's so very important that our children really feel connected in the family life. This is why it's so important that in those first 7 years that you understand that impressions can be made upon them, that you have to come into their world. Their world is the world of play and fantasy. Play and fantasy. I can go a little bit deeper. I'm just going to keep it surface. So maybe if you want more, then I would say the radio listening audience, you need to press 1 and say, give us a little bit more, you know. And this is very, very important because, as you see, as I build toward this in terms of friends, you're going to see how in this first stage, you understand, with you as parents understanding what this first stage represents for all, it's inevitable. I would just say it's inevitable that impressions are going to be made. And most of those impressions in the formative years, they're not going to even be conscious of them, conscious that the impressions are being made. But just by the mere fact that you are present and you are consciously aware of what your role and responsibility is, a bond is being formed in that stage. A bond is being formed. And this is for both for mothers and fathers, and even grandparents, okay? Guardians who are acting in the role of parents. And then that second stage, modeling. We said the adab, knowing, you understand, the relationship, how to relate in certain situations, the discipline. I'm not talking about discipline like many of us know discipline in terms of punishment or whatever, but the self-discipline that comes in this stage and what has to be modeled for them. So this is where a lot of teaching is actually going on in regards to this stage in actually preparing our children, you understand, for what it is to come, because at the very end of this stage, they are actually coming into puberty, where there is a transformation that is happening biologically that's also affecting them mentally and emotionally. So then, when we get into that third stage, this is called the socialization stage, 15 to 21, where they really begin to want to socialize and also have friends. But here's the key. Those first two stages, they actually shape and form the formative years where their personality, we said 90% by the time they get to be 10 years of age and everything, how they have been socialized to that point will have a bearing on the friends that they choose. And it was Ali, who was one of the companions, who said that when they get to that third stage, you have to be their friend And at the end of that stage, you have to turn or loose the reins on them. You won't be able to be their friend if, in fact, that you were not engaged in the first two stages. Some parents are hearing this and say, oh, man, you're talking crazy. Be your child's friend? You better want to be his friend or her friend when they get 15 to 21. And if you've been engaged in those first two stages, they'll feel like they can come to you and talk to you about any and everything. Why? Because you engaged them in those formative years. A bond has been formed. But then they may see you differently. You didn't engage them, and those, yeah, I got my friends, you got yours. And you ain't one of my friends. And guess what? How many times do you tell me, I ain't your friend? I'm not one of your friends. Well, it always has been, always will be. Friends go to friends about things that they want to know, they want to talk about. They feel as though they can speak with them, they can confide in them, and it's sad to say, there's too many of our children don't see their parents in that age and stage of their life as friends, and that they can confide in them, and they can consult with them. This gets back to the respect and all. But if we respect what it is that the Creator has put into all of our children, then when they get to that stage in terms of socialization, you definitely will be a part of their life in that regard, and they will continuously come to you as you came to them, as you were involved in helping them to evolve. I could say more, Dr. Salal Dean, but I think I said enough. And I want to hear from somebody out there. Press 1. If what you're hearing tonight, is it resonating with you? Does it make sense? Or it doesn't make any sense? Tell us something in regards to that. Please press 1. We'd like to hear from you. And if not, Rashid Salam, anybody out there got something to say? Or do you have something to say?
Yes, sir, Mark. I do have something to say, but I do want to take this one hand that just raised on the board right quick, and then I'll comment
okay.
after that. We have 314. We have 314-305. Yeah, please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Donna from St. Louis.
Alaikum assalam, Sister Donna. Welcome to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You got a question or comment?
Well, I guess two. But what I really would like to say is the natural and the beautiful way that Islam and the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, brought this about as far as teaching in the children.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a lot of preparation has to go into parenting before the children come. Because a lot of people don't have time for children because they're either working too many jobs or they have other things pulling at them or they're in a single family situation. Sometimes maybe it's just the husband and wife, the mom and dad, don't agree on how to do the parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what, there's one thing that children do need a lot of is love and your time, patience and time. And I think a lot of these things need to be done before those babies even get here. So if you speak to that.
Okay, so your question, the statement that you made in terms of the time before the babies get here, are you speaking in regards to, you're talking about the husband and wife in the marriage?
Well, basically I'm saying what you're saying, that this should be done and that should be done and this is how you do it and that's how you do it, that requires a lot of time.
Okay, so
it's said now that parents only see their children, maybe they talk with their children maybe 1 hour out of a 24-hour day.
Yes, ma'am. We got you. We got your sister Donna. We got you, and because we don't have a lot of time, but we got you, and most certainly will give a response to that, ma'am. We'll give a response to that. Thank you so much. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. Press one as you go out. Dr. Salahuddin, I'll let you go first. How would you want to respond to Sister Donna's concern in regards to parenting? What would you say?
I would say that Sister Donna is right on point. As a few years back, I know we started promoting that we have parents, marriage and family, marriage classes, marriage courses for young adults who or people who are going to get married. We were preaching to that, and even the states recognize it. So they have a little short something, even requirements sometimes. Some places will have you to go through a little quick course, you know, just to make sure that you know a few things. And in our master, we do have a marriage course for premarital course for young people who want to get married. And I'm agreeing with Sister Donna. We should have a course for parents. After you get married right before you have that child, there should be a course. There should be some way, something to help parents, potential parents, future parents, to deal with this. And she's correct. It's a lot we don't know. But we don't have. We can't say we don't. We can't say we don't have a way of knowing today. We do have
That's
a way
right.
of knowing, and there's a lot of information out there on how to become good parents. And we should, I think, in our community, in our masters, we should make that as we have made marriage, premarital counseling a requirement. We should make it available. We should make parenting 101 available to our constituents and our masters.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. I agree. I would love, to do it. And all, and I think that as the ma'am has said, that that leadership is in the resourceful people in the community. I'm gonna say that again. This is Imam W.D. Muhammad. This is not Mark Shaheed. Those of you who are students, you know what I'm saying is true. He said leadership is in the resourceful people in the community. It doesn't mean that you have to be an imam to teach those type of things. But if there's an issue, if there's an interest, if there's a legitimate interest in these type of classes and courses, then we have to make that request. We have to make that request. And we have to be at the forefront of leading, you understand, for the support of those things. Back in the day, if you went to a sock hop, you might not ever get up on the floor to dance if you didn't go and make a request. That's not the song you want to dance on. So I'm just using that as an analogy. It may not be the best analogy, but you oftentimes in many of the masajids in Islamic centers, you have to go to the imam and make that request. And if that resident imam is following the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad, his orientation, he would know exactly who to go to and say, I can't do that, but here's a request that's coming from our community for this and that. And I already have identified you as being the resourceful person to go to. Just that simple. It's not difficult. The reason a lot of times we don't get what it is that we know that we need because we are not requesting and demanding that we get that. There's a lot of things that should happen in community life to become a reinforcement for family life. Oh, I could go on, but we're at the top of the hour here. But I do want to give Rashid Salam an opportunity, any question, comment that he would like to make. And then want to give you the last word, Dr. Salahuddin. Rashid Salam, what you got for us?
Oh, man, what I have to say will take us over.
Okay. Well, we got a and couple of minutes, grace period here, and I do have my guests.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to hang up. I would rather hang on to continue this conversation for next week, but let me just say this one thing.
Well, we can.
And Donna and Sister Patricia were made some very prominent statements here, you know, and with the vicissitudes of life. And I think we forget what life is and how life is. And I think Donna was saying, you know, before you have that child, what are the preparatory things that we need to do? So we have family members who sometimes who are not Muslims and our children who are exposed to. We have our children need to be engaged in what we call a personal activity that we create for them as parents. But if we as parents don't know, then what do you do for your child? You know, so I think one of the programs that you had on child, you know, what we call adverse childhood experiences, and I think Imam Fahim made it very plain about going back three generations. We really have to understand that this is real life. And when that new life comes into your life, you better have a plan for that child. You know, I call it building your own personal life plan, where you have the input, you have the model, you have the socialization to take, but you're going to have a plan for that child. Now, the key here would be what Sister Donald was saying. Well, suppose we have single parents. And suppose we have people who have divorces in our family. So this is a subject matter that we can talk about for 2 hours.
Well, you know what, Rashid? Next week you're going to be sitting in. Dr. Patricia Saldine won't be with us, and we'll pick that up next week. So just be ready.
Be ready.
Put your seatbelt on. Get ready.
Man, I got it on. I got it on right now, Mark.
Okay, because I'm going to be ready, and we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about some other things. On the parent. Okay, Dr. Saldane, because hopefully my guests they'll be on the MGM roundtable. They'll be coming on in just a couple of few minutes. I'm going to ask them to be patient and all. And I know he probably is press one, but we'll be coming to him in just a few minutes. Want to give you opportunity, Dr. Patricia Saldane, for any closing remarks that you have, like to leave with the radio listening audience. Dr. Saldane?
Well, thank you, Mark, and I'm looking forward to listening to the recording of the show next week, because I really want to hear about the preparatory things that we can do before we have children. And I think it's going to be a fantastic discussion. I encourage everyone to listen in. And thank you, Mark. Yeah. Have a great evening, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Dr. Patricia Saldane. I want to thank you always for the insight and wisdom that you share with us each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we'll see Dr. Patricia Saldane back with us in 2 weeks and on. And we're going to, inshallah, going to have a very special guest. I'm going to keep that a secret, a special surprise when she returns back in 2 weeks. I also want to thank the radio listening audience, you understand, for their attention tonight on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. As we get ready to transition, I want to remind you that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South, that's the ATL. Join me each and every Thursday here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. However, Mark Shaheed will be traveling to the DNA, the Detroit National Annual Muslim Convention that I go to every year. So I don't broadcast on when I'm traveling, but there will be a broadcast, and you will hear Karan Shakir's voice tomorrow, and there will be a special broadcast, so I do invite you to tune in, and it will start at 7 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And as we transition to the MGM Roundtable, I always like to begin with all my productions with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio, where I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, but also outside our community, and that's the community Imam W.D. Muhammad, but topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, as I'm honored to have one of my good brothers and friends, Bashir Assad. This brother's been in the community for about 54 years, and he's worn many different hats. He's a part of the PLLA, as I had him on earlier this year, the Progressive Leadership and Legacy Association, that remember the contribution of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. He's also a part of this historic occasion that will be coming up on September the 23rd and 24th as a promoter of that, working with the founder and the CEO of Study Al-Islam in collaboration with the American Islamic College. My good brother and friend, Bashir Assad. Assalamu alaikum to you, Bashir Assad.
Walaikum assalam, Mark Shaheed.
Alhamdulillah. You know, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I'm so honored to have you on as my special guest on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I want to just thank you right off the bat in terms of accepting this invitation to join me on a very auspicious occasion that will be coming up in almost 3 weeks. Time is winding down. So we want to get right into it tonight. You know, I want to say this, Bashir Assad, I'm quite sure that there are quite a few people that are listening, and you're no stranger to them. But we always have people that listen in for the first time, and they listen in to all the productions. They listen in to the learning labs that I have here. You know, you just heard probably the tail end of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab airs every Thursday. But a lot of people like to listen in to the MGM Roundtable, which is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, just to see what type of guests that I actually have and what are they talking about. And, you know, and sitting down and just thinking about what would I name this roundtable after years, 5 years or so, hosting the syndicated CWSC roundtable on AM 360 radio. Allah bless me with the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And as this is a national, international production, whatever it is that is said, it don't even just stay in this country. It travels outside of the country. And so for those of those persons who are wondering, what's happening with the community of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad, it's persons like you that can come on and really, really inform us in regards to that. So I want to give you 3 to 5 minutes, if you would like, to utilize that time in introducing yourself. Who is Bashir Assad? And once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And again, it's an honor, and we're highly to be on this highly respected program with you. I'm on the program this evening to represent Study Al-Islam. I am not a official member of Study Hour, Sister Fitra Muhammad, asked me to come on and represent her and Study Hour Islam in this program that's coming up September 23rd and 24th of September. But many people are aware of Bashir's side, especially in the Chicago area. I entered this community, the Nation of Islam, in 1968. I know you got, Mark, we talked the other morning, and you got a year, maybe a few months on me. So I bow to you humbly for all of your service and all of those people like us. We entered the Nation of Islam as very young people. Allah has blessed us to get to these ages today. I'll be 80 years old, inshallah, on September the 12th. And Allah has still blessed me with a little useful kick to keep on kicking. So I'm gonna do that. This community is important to us. And just as you mentioned, the MGM Roundtable that reaches globally, this concept has been with this community for years. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he had on the mask of the Muhammad Speaks newspaper those hands across the water.
Yes.
And Imam Wardi Muhammad, even when he brought us into the proper al-Islam, it even broadened that to give us that universal concept.
Yes.
But I'm on the program today, and it's out of, you know, what we had learned in the past. So to take charge of your post and all temple property and view. Again, I was...
Yes.
I came in contact with Study Al-Islam, which is a very significant program in our community. Just like your program is. I think Study Al-Islam, I spoke to Fitra today, and it's been in existence for approximately 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a very big following. We know during the Ramadan session that they have every year, they have over 400 people that come on that program, and we know it's very beneficial. I know you take advantage of it also, because I hear you on there. And every time, too, Mark, every time you're there, what you have to share with us is of value and of importance. But, I've worked in this community here in Chicago in our history. You know, most of the activities or economic programs were being modeled here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I advanced like many others, and you advanced in what we call the program. I became the paper captain here.
Yes.
And
yes.
Our newspaper was an integral part of getting the message out to our people. When Imam Waqi Muhammad came into office, I continued those efforts like many of us when we made that transition. I was in that position at the time. Elijah Muhammad II, who was the Assistant Supreme Captain, he went to Imam Waqi Muhammad and asked him if he would give names to those officers who were working under him at that time. I was Leo Forex. My last name was Taylor.
Yes.
And I was given the name Bashir Assad. Now, I can't say that this was the reason why Imam Waqi Muhammad gave me that name, but Bashir is the bringer of good news.
That's right.
I had the name Leo. And Leo meant lion.
Yes.
So it was Bashir Assad, and I'm very grateful for that name. and I'm trying to humbly live up to it.
But, well, you know, Bashir, what I can say is that I would say that the work that you've been doing, you have been living up to it, and that kind of leads us into the reason that you're here, Bashir, the bringer of good news. You have some good news to share with our regular listening audience. Let's start, with this very historic event. This is very historic. And, you know, Bashir, I always like to say to our radio listening audience, and it's good, you know, I think, because the preservation of our history and our history has to be preserved and it has to be told by the few of us as we're leaving more and more each day, each week, each month, each year, and preserve. But I also want to say to those of us that still have breath in our body, and so you hear our good brother Bashir Assad continuously working all the years he's been working, and at the age he is still working, and you hear that vibrant voice of his and everything. We are making history. As part of this community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So people are watching. They're watching to see what will they do after the leader has gone. The request that Imam Muhammad made to us to give him a good future. You know the future that I want. I won't physically be here, you see. And also I want to reference the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Speak not of my servants is dead, for they live, but you perceive not." So with that being said, I'm going to ask you, Bashir, if you would, to give the general information as to what will be taking place on the 23rd and the 24th of September, and this initiative and the objectivity first, and then we'll go into some of the invited presenters. We can talk a little bit about them and all. So let's start there. Let's start with the information and those who have not yet registered. The dinner has been sold out. Let's give an update to our radio listening audience. Back to you, Bashir Assad.
Thank you. For those who may not be aware, this event is also following an event. I think it was in 2018. And you may, Mark, have been at the event at the Tuna College on the West Coast, when Pitra and Study Al-Islam presented an academic study of the mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in that particular event, at the Tuna College, it was also a collaboration with Muslims, and sometimes we use the term immigrant Muslims, but Muslims that have come to the United States from other Islamic countries from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know our history and know our background. So that was an opportunity there to tell the historical story of the mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes.
Now, let's forward to today. This event is going to focus on the contributions of Imam Wardi Muhammad.
Yes.
And our sister has worked very hard and diligently in putting this together.
Excuse me, Rashid, my engineer, maybe there's a mic that's open. We need to close it. We want to have a clean, crisp broadcast. I hear some noise.
There's no mic? There's no mic.
Oh, okay. I heard something.
No, that was on my end, Mark. I was in my living room. I'm gonna move to another area. That was the most.
Yeah, please. Yeah, move to another area where it's very quiet right here because we archive all of this. Okay. Sorry about that, Rashid. Yeah. So, alhamdulillah. Okay, Bashir, continue, please.
But Fitri Muhammad has worked very diligently and very hard working sister. I spoke to her today just to maybe get some insights or anything that she, any new developments. And when I talked to her today, Mark, she mentioned she was tired. And I can understand her being tired. She has a small administration, probably just like you. But this sister has been very diligent, and that's why I kind of stepped up to the plate to assist it, any way I could. But those who may not be aware, this event, the focus is a way forward, a new mind for a new people, a historical perspective on the ministry of Imam Wardi Muhammad. And this is presented by Study Al-Islam in collaboration with the American Islamic College. Now, the American Islamic College in Chicago, when it was first established, Imam Wardi Muhammad was an advisor to them. And so there is a historical connection between our community and this college.
Mm-hmm.
The event is going to be held September 23rd, that is a Friday and a Saturday, 23rd and 24th, at the American Islamic College here in Chicago. Now, this event is a significantly historical event. It will be focusing on the contributions of a man described as spokesman for human salvation, America's Imam, the Mujaddid, the most unappreciated religious leader of the 20th century. This is a quote from a book from the Clinton tapes by Taylor Branch. And I happened to just come across this. I had picked up this book. Taylor Branch was hired by President Clinton to document his presidency. And I picked this book up in Dollar Tree. and as I was going through the book, I came across this. And I thought it was so significant.
Yes.
That a person like Taylor Branch. Now, Taylor Branch is a writer, historian. I sent you when we talked earlier this week, Mark, about how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad helped the Democratic Party.
Oh, yes.
I think back in 1968. I don't know if you've been able to read that as yet, but Taylor Branch was with Julian Bond at that event.
Yes.
So this is a man that has knowledge and background with our community. So when I did come across this quote by Taylor Branch, I thought it was so significant.
Oh, yes.
He said, the most unappreciated religious leader of the 20th century.
Most unappreciated.
These presenters come from highly respected scholarly backgrounds from academia, Islamic scholarship, and the highly acclaimed students of the School of Thought of Imam Wardi Muhammad. And we look forward to an invigorating and substantive discussion. And their backgrounds, I was just going over their backgrounds before coming on the program.
Yes, sir.
And it would take 2 hours.
I know, but you know what I want you to, what I would like for you to do, Bashir, and you're doing an excellent job as a representative for Fitri Muhammad, the founder and CEO of Study Al-Islam, and this is a historic even collaboration, the cooperation, and when Fitri was on, she shared with us that she was not even aware of the relationship of the American Islamic College, the influence, the impact that our beloved leader, Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, had even on them, in sharing with them. And so they were very, very delightful to want to be the ones to host this. And so we know our beloved sister and friend Fitcher Muhammad is a hard-working sister. And when she make up her mind to do something, she's on it until it gets done. So you're doing an excellent job in terms of representation. What I would like for you to do for our radio listening audience, just give a little thumbnail sketch of some of those persons that actually will be there. And they're coming from all walks of life. And many of these persons actually had a relationship with Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. They worked under Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. And it is in terms of the acknowledgement of the contribution that the Imam actually made. I want you to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll move on down the road in regards to this significance, why this should happen, and why it should happen at this time. Bashir?
Yes. Well, the event will begin Friday with Juma, and
yes,
it will be at the two Islamic centers here in Chicago, the Ephraim Baha Center and Masjid al-Taqwa. Then there is a dinner with the keynote speaker. Now, the dinner has been sold out, but in Fitra's concern and efforts to make sure that this would be available to as many people as possible, they have changed the program to allow the keynote speaker to speak first in the auditorium at the college. And so those who have purchased the dinner tickets, also those who would want to hear the keynote speaker, who is Dr. Sylvian A. Daouf, will be, have the opportunity to do that. There will be a cost of $25 for the keynote speaker's address. And our keynote speaker is an award-winning historian of the African diaspora, and she's a visiting scholar at the Center of the Study of Slavery and Justice at Brown University. This woman also has a background that would take us a length of time.
But yes,
this particular focus that she'll be addressing during this conference, the way Fitcher has put this together and the keynote speaker giving our background from Africa to America puts it in historical context.
Yes.
The many speakers that will be addressing, and that will begin Saturday. That particular conference, the cost is $50.
Before you move to Saturday, Bashir, I want to go back, so I want to make sure that our radio listening audience is understanding. The dinner, as you said, has been sold out, I think, for almost close to 3 weeks now. And the switch is that it's going to be an auditorium. So those of you that may not have registered in time enough to be able to get the dinner, you can still. You can still hear the keynote speaker. And do we have a time on that, Bashir? Do you have a time on that? As actually when that would take place, because that would be Central Standard Time, those in the Central Standard Time Zone. So you need to be there for that. And then I do know that dinner will be served for those who already have reservations there at the American Islamic College, because Fitcher actually said it would be 7:30. And so she is an organizer. So you want to make sure, you know, for those who have tickets, they still will be honored. And the dinner is still on for Friday night. It just won't be for anybody who don't have a ticket. And I just wanted to say that before you move on, because I wanted that to be very, very clear. And I'm quite sure that many are looking forward to hearing the keynote speaker, and they still would have that opportunity. It would be held in the auditorium of the American Islamic College. Please proceed. What are we looking at Saturday night? Well, all these – not Saturday night, I should say all-day Saturday. Let me correct that, all-day Saturday. Bashir?
Yes, well Saturday there will be speakers, and it will start at 9 a.m. Until approximately 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But what's unique, Mark, and our listening audience about our speakers, the divergent backgrounds that they'll be coming from. We'll have many of our African-American brothers, Muslim brothers, who are not in the association or were not in the association of Imam Warsi Muhammad. And this is significant, too, because at one point in time, we weren't respected in many areas of the academic scholarship in the Muslim community. But now we have gained that respect. And many of these same people that will be presenters there will be acknowledging that Imam Wadi Muhammad was the person that he said he was.
Yes, sir.
He said he was a Mujaddid. He said he had the knowledge that Allah had blessed him with to make us leaders in the world. And now it's going to give us an opportunity to be able to express and explain and expound upon what Imam Wadi Muhammad has given to us. And we'll also see from these noted Islamic scholars how they have now come around to give the kind of respect to Imam Wadi Muhammad.
Yes.
Let me point out, I just wanted to say,
please, you know, if you could give us like a little thumbnail sketch of some of those persons, that it's an outstanding cast of presenters. So you can see, as Bashir Assad has said, it's going to start 9 o'clock sharp in the morning, 9 a.m. That's Saturday the 24th, and it's going to be continuous. Of course, you can always factor in that we'll break for the obligatory Salat. And then these presenters will be coming back-to-back. And so I do want you to, if you would, if you have that accessible to you, to mention some of the names of some of those persons that will be making presentations on the contributions of our beloved leader, Imam Warsi Muhammad. Bashir?
Yes. And these are highly qualified people. Imam Zaid Shaker, influential Muslim scholar, born on the West Coast, and his academic background is excellent. From the academia, we have Dr. Edward E. Curtis, the fourth, and he's a publicly engaged scholar. He delves into African-American and Arab-American history and life. We have our most respected and beloved professor, Aisha K. Mustafa.
Oh, yes.
The editor of the Muslim Journal. And most of us know her background.
Oh, yes.
And we look forward to listening to her insight. Dr. Nasir Ahmed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was close assistant to the Imam Wardi Muhammad.
Yes, I want to. Yeah, you know, I want to just add, he was probably the first of the transcribers of the lectures of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Imam Dr. Nasir Ahmed. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Imam Darnell Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
Was our first caller to prayer and a childhood friend.
That's right.
Of Imam Wardi Muhammad. So we'll be able to get the many insights he had from
yes,
the rich background he has from all of the years that he's been in this community.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Siraj Wahaj was very respected.
Yes.
In the Islamic community. And
yes.
He came out of this community of the Nation of Islam,
mm-hmm.
and Imam Wardi Muhammad, to become a respectable Islamic leader in the country. I wasn't aware of this, but Imam Siraj was the first person to give an Islamic invocation to
mm-hmm.
the United States Congress.
Yes.
Now, the imam, he was the first to give it in the Senate, which is a higher body.
Yes.
But I was not aware that Imam Siraj Wahaj also was the first person to give an Islamic invocation to United States
Congress. And Brother Bashir, I think the reason that we have to be there, I think you're going to hear something very special from Imam Siraj. I do. I anticipate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have that anticipation. I'm very excited about this event. I think any student
yes.
of Imam Wardi Muhammad, and
he excited our
intellect. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
he said man means mind. And
yes.
we've got minds. We have minds that will be giving perspectives
mm-hmm.
on Imam Wardi Muhammad with highly acclaimed background. So Sister Precious Rashida Muhammad. If
Precious
anybody
Muhammad.
Was there, yeah, if anybody was there.
Zang Tuna College, there wasn't a dry eye when Precious Muhammad finished speaking. She has that way in terms of doing that. I was viewing it live Zoom. But everybody
mm-hmm.
teared up. Everybody needed
yeah.
tissue after Precious, while she was speaking, after she finished speaking. So you want to hear Precious Muhammad. Continue.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Mark?
Yes.
Okay. Going on, Dr. Fatima Fanusi. I don't know if I pronounced the last name correctly.
Yes.
But we know her highly acclaimed background, especially
mm-hmm.
in the historical background of Master Farad Muhammad and
yes.
the Ahmadiyya movement here
mm-hmm.
In the United States. One another acclaimed persons that will be addressing it is Imam El Hajj Talib Abdul Rashid, who is a very active leader in the greater Muslim community. He was the emir for MANA, the Muslim Alliance in North
mm-hmm.
America. He works extensively in the New York area, and he'll be coming with many great insights.
Yes.
Anita Dewan.
Oh, man.
Most of us know Anissa.
Well, if
you, her,
if you don't know her, after she presents, you will know her.
You will know her.
You will know Anissa Dewan.
And as she says, she comes with the female perspective. our esteemed brother, Dr. Wazir Ali,
Yes. Yes. Another very scholarly learning imam in this association, and a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad and of Imam Kazem Ahmed, Rahimullah Anhu.
And Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman.
Oh, man.
Student class.
That's right.
Imam W.D. Muhammad. And the young brother is doing a tremendous job.
He's doing an excellent job, taught directly by Imam Warf Adin Muhammad. I would say that his prize student, and as I shared with you the other day, Bashir, it was Imam Darnell Kareem that said to me and a few others, he gave the mic to Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. After one of the classes, he would have Imam Darnell Kareem to teach them the grammar and all in the Quran, and then the Imam would come behind him and would give the tafsir on whatever it was that they were reading in the Quran, and then Imam Muhammad gave Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman the mic, and he went and had and sat down by Imam Darnell Kareem. And what he shared with her, he said, Imam took a very relaxed position, kind of slouched down in his seat. He put his hands behind his head, and he leaned over to Imam Darnell, and he said to him, Darnell, he said, I can finally relax now. He says, Rashad Abdul Rahman, he's got it. He's got it. And I bear witness, he's got it. He has established the Institute of Quran Studies and Leadership. And just as an endorsement, I had him on the MGM Roundtable. Those of you that have not enrolled in that, you should enroll because you're missing a whole lot. The methodology, he uses it just as Imam Muhammad gave it, no deviating from that. The brothers got it. Keep on going there, Bashir. I want to say to our radio listening audience, you are listening to IWDM Radio. If you just tune in, you listen to the MGM Roundtable here. And I have as my very distinguished esteemed guest, Bashir Assad. He's here representing Study Al-Islam and the founder and the CEO of Study Al-Islam, Fitcher Muhammad, on this historic event that will be taking place at the American Islamic College on September the 23rd and the 24th. And he's given us a lot of insight into who you can expect to see and to hear of the great presenters that have been lined up to present on the contribution and the legacy of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad. So if you got any questions, this is your time to press 1. Press 1. You want to ask Brother Assad a question, I want to make a comment or anything that he says, press 1. If you might just want to give him the greetings, I know he would love to hear from you. So Rashid Salam will let me know that we have any callers in the queue. Okay, Bashir, you can continue, brother.
Also, one of our presenters will be our esteemed Rashad N. Ali, MD and JD.
Yes.
Brother Ali was one of the principal founders of the Islamic community in Mississippi named New Medina.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be one of the presenters. I wonder why he had a JD behind him. and a doctor. So we have some highly accomplished people in this community.
Yes, sir.
That need to be heard. Also, Imam Muhammad Abdul Aleem, He'll be one of the presenters.
That's out of Philadelphia. That's Imam Muhammad Aleem. That teaches classes there. I got an opportunity to meet him when I was in Philly a few years ago out of the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection there. Yes, Masjid Allah there in Philadelphia.
And our Imam Yahya Abdullah.
Yahya Abdullah.
Most of us in this community know his dedication.
Oh, yeah.
And we know know his scholarship also.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be one of the presenters.
That's right.
Winding up the program will be I don't want to miss.
I know
also,
I ain't gonna let you forget him.
Fahim Shuek.
Yes, like your brother and friend, Emir Fahim Shuek.
He's not on the presenters, but he will be making some comments. And anytime you hear Imam Fahim Shuab, you want to open up your ears. And we'll finally end with the daughter of Imam Wardi Muhammad, his oldest child,
Layla
Muhammad. And she'll be making reflections on her father and this event. I think one thing, too, that Mark,
And then also, let me say this before you say it, Bashir. Also, the founder and CEO, you know, that's been working hard to put this together in collaboration with the American Islamic College, Fitcher Muhammad, also will have something to say, too. I just want to say that for you. Go ahead, Bashir.
Along with Imam Dr. Talib.
Talib Sharif. Yeah, that's right. Imam Talib Sharif, resident imam of the nation's mosque there.
In Washington, D.C.
There in Washington, D.C., that's Masjid Muhammad, and that's a historic masjid. This was the first masjid that was built from the ground up under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Very historic, and they're doing some great things there. Just want to give a plug for the upcoming Time to Be Grateful. It is scheduled to be held in the nation's capital this year, Washington, D.C. Go ahead, Bashir.
And I think what's significant about this, especially with the presenters that we have presenters who were in the Nation of Islam,
mm-hmm.
who transitioned. And this was not an easy transition. I reflect in the Quran when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
mm-hmm.
when he changed the Qibla
mm-hmm.
in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
to Mecca, and Allah in the Quran said it was not easy for some of them, and we know it wasn't easy for some of
us. That's right.
Some of us didn't make that transition, but these are people that made that transition.
They made the transition.
And develop. So they have that background, which they'll bring with them.
Yes, sir.
The fact that we have these scholarly sisters that will represent us,
mm-hmm.
Showing the visionary leadership of Imam Wardi Muhammad to mm-hmm. recognize that Allah says he created us from one soul.
Yes.
And that the woman also has the same intellectual ability of the Imam.
That's right.
And we have this age dichotomy. We have older and we have people like Rashad, the younger
yes.
generation that come up, who will be giving their insights also on
That's right.
the perspective of the ministry of Imam Wardi Muhammad. And also those outside of our community
mm-hmm.
who will also be looking at those things. So it's a broad
yeah.
overview, and I'm just excited to.
You're excited. I'm excited. I know we're gonna have people that's listening to the lines that should be excited. And if you own the fence, this diversity and these outstanding presenters to actually hear from, and this is our first time out since the COVID. And everything in almost 2.5 years or so opportunity to be there to listen. You don't want to get this secondhand. You actually want to be there for yourself. This is a part of history for us, and it's something that you will cherish the rest of your life. So I want you, Bashir, to give the theme. There is a theme for this historic conference. We also want to, and we can't underscore this, the importance. The last time Fitcher was on, we want to reiterate the the importance of our youth and young adults being there. We also want it to be known that 21 and down, or if you're in college and you can show with an ID that you're in college, you're still in school, there is no cost for the admission of the presentation, the historic presentations on that Saturday, the 24th. If you're in high school.
That's both the 23rd and 24th. Also for the keynote speaker.
Oh, yeah, keynote speaker, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Bashir, for correcting me and adding that. The keynote speaker, that's for the keynote speaker, Saturday, and also for the diversified scholarly intellects in and out of our community that will be making presentations on the 24th. If you're a high school student, you have your high school ID, admission is free. Admission is free. So we're looking to see, and it's a big push to do this because we have to pass this on. This is very, very important to hear, to get opportunity to hear it. No, many wasn't around in the Nation of Islam, didn't make the transition, and many weren't here in the community at the very inception of the leadership of Imam Waqidi Muhammad. So we are very much aware of that. So, you know, you can find a way or make a way to get there, to be there. It would be worth your while. I'm going to give it back to you, Bashir. Let me ask my engineer. We're looking at the studio here. Rashid Salam, and no hands up in the air or what? Any questions, comments from my radio listening audience to Bashir Assad? That this is an opportunity. Press one. All you got to do is press one. Those list where the internet, you can still call me. You got time, 714-816-4673. I'm quite sure Bashir Assad would love to hear from you. I know some of you out there know him.
You know, I just want to say, Mark, assalamu alaikum, brother Imam, Bashir. I wanted to know, is there going to be any Zoom audio type of conferencing? Is this going to take place that weekend?
Well, I talked to Fitra today. So those listening this evening, you'll have the first to know that Fitra has made a decision to have the conference via Zoom.
Okay.
There will be a cost of $50.
Okay.
For those who will not be there personally in attendance. So it will be on the Study Al-Islam website tomorrow. But you're having the first, those who are listening this evening, yes, it will be. Again, we do encourage those who can come to be there in person.
That's right.
But when we talk about hadith, then you regrade the hadith on those who actually heard it directly from the Prophet's mouth, Islam. And then it goes down. And I'm just saying this, you know, it's if you're able to be there, you'll be in a better position to have benefited from this program.
Mm-hmm.
The excitement, sometimes just the physical, I know at times looking at the imam, sometimes you could listen to him on a CD and then look at or listen to him on a DVD and see his facial expression. And sometimes you would get even a more rich understanding of what he was trying to impart to us.
Yes.
Also, let's consider, too, there will be Muslims outside of our community.
That's right.
Coming to hear the imam. And let's not be the lesson number that are there.
That's right.
We say that we are Imam Waqidi Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
And those people, he said, Imam, but you mentioned Mark.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he will not be with us.
Be with us, that's right.
But he'll be in us.
It'll be in us. That's right.
Right. And those speakers, those students, Imam Wardi Muhammad, are in them, and they will be expounding upon
yes.
what they've learned, their insights, and
yes.
broadening this knowledge. So
yes.
I would encourage and urge those who are able to come. Now, we understand
mm-hmm.
if you're not able to come, and just like those during the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when they went into battle, they wanted
mm-hmm.
to go into battle, but they were not equipped. They didn't have the horse or the weapons, and they wept because they were not able to go to that battle.
Yes, sir.
There were others that tried, you know, they didn't want to go. They didn't want to put themselves on the line. And there were those others that were foremost. So I'm saying those who have the ability to come, we urge you to come. Those
yes.
who are not capable of coming, now Petrie has made it available on Zoom for those who are not able to come.
Yeah,
yes,
we
sir.
Do have a hand raised, Mark. Mark, we do
okay.
have a hand raised.
Okay, Bashir, we got a hand raised. We're going to go to our callers to see what they have on their mind. They might want to ask you a question or make a comment. All right, so let's go, Rashid. Let's open
yes,
up
sir,
their mic.
We have 314-330. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I know that.
Okay. Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Medina Wakil.
Assalam, Dr. Medina Wakil. Welcome to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. You have a question or comment for our very distinguished guest, Bashir Assad, Dr. Medina?
Yes. Yes, I do. And first of all, I wanted to thank him for this valuable information that he's sharing with the listening audience. My question is, I missed the part where Juma is being held on Friday, and if he can quickly go back over that, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Bashir?
Yes, Juma will be held at two locations here in Chicago at two Islamic centers, Masjid al-Taqwa, where I'm a trustee on, and also the historical Baha Islamic Cultural Center.
Yeah, the FM Baha Center.
Yes, mm-hmm. and Juma will be at those two locations.
Did you get that, Dr. Medina?
Got it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Alhamdulillah. And while you're at it, let's make sure that you give the time. Are we talking about approximately 1 p.m. Central Standard Time there in the Windy City?
The Juma Masjid, yeah, Masjid al-Taqwa is 1:15. I believe it. Yes, 1:15. And I believe the Baha is 1 p.m.
1 p.m. So it would be good to arrive early. I think it's always good. I never like to walk in to Salat Juma and the imam or the khatib for that particular day has already begun the khutbah. You want to arrive early. And there's a lot I can say about that, and I know that our beloved brother Imam Vernon Faree shared with us some insights that Imam Muhammad gave to him. I won't go into that tonight, but he expressed, I'm just going to simply say this, his displeasure, I'm talking about Imam Vernon Faree, Rahimullah Anhu, who was a close confidant, as you well know, Bashir, to Imam Muhammad, and he was sharing with him how oftentimes, especially brothers that would seemingly consistently be late for Salat al-Juma, even after the revelation came in regards to the surah in the Quran, Salat al-Juma, and they want to make a sunnah prayers and would get before everybody center. Imam is given the khutbah, and they want to make two rakats. And Imam Muhammad shared with Imam Vernon Faree. He told us, he said, yes, he says, bothers me too. He said that if you are late, and I'm sharing this and some of you hearing it for the first time, if you are late and Salatul Jummah has started, the khutbah has started, you should come in and have a seat. Just like any salat. And it begins, this is the only salat that replaces a fard salat, an obligatory salat. But it is the only salat that cannot be replaced, even if Eid day fall on Salatul Jummah. It does not replace Salatul Jummah. This is an order and command that is given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Quran. This is not Marsha Heath saying this, but at the insight of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Sunnah does not supersede fard. What's obligatory. If you're late, you make those two sunnah rakahs after the khutbah is over, and you make the two rakahs, and you taslim out. You want to make two, four, however many additional rakahs you want to make, then that's the time for you to do it. I could say more. I've said enough. I'll stop there. So, Bashir.
Well, I'll say this, Ma. That's one of my pet peeves. And
okay.
I'm aware of that also. And I know there's other schools of thought out there, but this is what Imam Waqi Muhammad instructed us, and it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as you explained, you know, makes a lot of sense. If we were at Dua on any other day, and
that's
Dua
right.
prayer was in,
come on with
you
it.
Don't come in and do a sunnah. You join the body.
That's right.
For the five prayer. So it makes
that's
sense.
Right.
We don't diverge from there, but that's one of my pet peeves.
Mine too, bruh. You know, that's the importance, you know, this is just some of the insight of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We don't seemingly recognize we have one of the premier leaders that you could ever think of. And when we think about his contribution, or how he was able to bring by the multitudes right in this country, the indigenous Muslim African Americans, from where we were, brother, look here. I don't think really get it, and how powerful this message is, and how Allah blessed him with the insight to be able to deliver it in the way he was able to deliver this message. No life was taken, no violence or anything. A smooth transition. The doctor was operating. As you say, he was the mujaddid. He was the reviver. He was the restorer of the religion. And for those of you who really, really pay attention, his name was Warith Uddin Muhammad, the inheritor of the religion, the way of life of Muhammad, the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the Muslim spokesman for human salvation. You're going to hear a whole lot of that, Bashir, with all those outstanding presenters. You're going to have a whole lot to come back. And I know here in St. Louis, you know, have a pretty good rapport with the resident imam. Definitely want to have a talim, and all those who were not able to go for one reason or another. This is something that we used to do back in the day, to come back and to share, you know. And I want to give you the last words, Bashir. I'm going to ask you a question. I know you won't have any difficulty in answering. Bashir Assad, why should we be there in Chicago for his historic event on Friday the 23rd and Saturday the 24th? Bashir.
Well, Mark, you and I the other morning had a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed out to you, it's on a CD by Mayor Morty Muhammad where they had a brainstorming session that Dr. Nuruddin set up. And at that session, the Imam Morty Muhammad posed this to those who were in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, many of you say that Imam Morty Muhammad has brought us to the Quran, and he did his job.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked those, he said, well, you should reevaluate how
That's right.
you view me or think of me. And he said that the immigrant Muslims, or the Ahmadis, I believe it, he said they weren't able to bring you to the Quran.
Come on.
He said, my father wasn't able to bring you to the Quran. He said, my family wasn't able to bring you to the Quran.
Come on.
How was I able to bring you to the Quran? You should
mm-hmm.
think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So with this
mm-hmm.
event, a historical perspective on the ministry of Imam Wardeen Muhammad, this is what will be addressed.
Yes, right. Yes, sir.
And this is something that we want to understand. And also, not only do we want to understand, but there's many in the Muslim community and outside the Muslim community also need this understanding. How
That's
did he
right.
do it? And
That's
these
right.
presenters will be bringing these aspects out. And there'll be many aspects. I even know when they had the event in Zaytuna College. Listen
mm-hmm.
to that. There was many areas that I wasn't aware of that was brought out in that particular
mm-hmm.
time.
Yes.
So that's why we need to be there. Also, the ma'am had told us to support our leadership.
That's
Fisher
right.
Muhammad is a leader in this community.
Yes.
Study Al-Islam is one of the leading institutions in our community, just like
That's right.
this program of yours is a lead, and others that are out there. But an event like this that I'm not aware of has been put together.
That's
and
right.
The way it has been put together and formed. And I think that it will be a great benefit to those who are coming and a great benefit to this community and the great respect that will come out of this event. Now, too, let me point out, too, that those who have not registered, you can
yes,
go
sir.
To studyalislam.com,
mm-hmm.
and I'll take you to the Study Al Islam website where you can register for the program. And again, I was informed this evening that Zoom will be available. It won't be available for the keynote speaker.
Well, yeah,
Friday
right.
night. Yeah, but for the conference,
but it will be for the
Saturday.
For the presence,
yes,
for the presenters starting at 9 a.m. Saturday
yes.
morning. And all. You know, Bashir, you know, it's been an honor. You know, this the request that Imam Muhammad has made to this community to give him a good future. Something also Imam Muhammad said, I think it should be noteworthy. And Imam didn't, he said, I don't waste words. He said to us before he left, he says, what Allah has blessed me with, you internalize that, he said, it would be around for at least, he's talking about a minimum of 1,000 years. Of 1,000 years. Now, I know that's kind of difficult for many to wrap our head around. But those who are students of the Imam and studied, you know, under the Imam in terms of the language, when you say the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad, let me just simply say to you, simply put, the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad is the language of the Quran. It's the language of revelation. Is the clear explanation of revelation, not only of the Quran, but the books that preceded it. So now when you hear that Noah lived 950 years, it wasn't talking about an individual living 950 physical years. It was talking about the message that the prophet Noah, alayhi salam, brought. And as long as that message was in the world and was influencing and impacting people, Noah was able to live. This is the same thing that's in the Quran when Allah says, speak not of my servants as dead, for they live, but you perceive not. So it means we have a misperception. I even heard an imam, a very accomplished imam, say, I won't call his name because many of y'all would know him, that referred to the imam. The man has been dead for so many years. And that kind of perturbed me, because you're supposed to be an imam and a learned imam, as if and though that Imam Wahid Muhammad doesn't have any influence or impact. When we look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his farewell speech, he wanted to make sure that he made the message clear. And he also said that perhaps those who will hear this message later will understand it better than those who are listening to it right now. This is why it's so very important for our youth and our young people, our young adults, to be there. Because what I'm hearing from some of them, they're not the future. They're the present. And Imam Muhammad said, whenever you hear a homonym, there's a relationship. We're talking about the present in terms of time, but we're talking about the present in terms of a gift that Allah has already given to us. Some of us old heads, we think as long as we live, anybody that's younger than us, that's the future. Don't make that mistake. Let's make sure that we bring youth, young adults, and encourage them. Can't come sponsor somebody. We used to do that back in the day, Bashir. You're very much aware of that. We did that. So this is very important for you to be there. You don't want to get it secondhand. You don't even want to get it from Mark Shaheed. You want to be there to experience it for yourself. There's only certain times in life where you have these type of occasions that are historic. You should be there. Let me give you something from the Quran, where Allah says that you are to enjoy in all that is good. You don't have to lead everything. But when you're a believer, you have to support the good. That's why I gotta find a way. I got to be there. You got to say, I got to find a way or make a way to be there. I got to support the good. You know the good that Imam Muhammad has done. If you was a student, if you was listening. And there have been a lot of people, Bashir, that they have said they have become more familiar with Imam Muhammad since his physical transitioning than was when he was here, because many wasn't listening. This is the truth, and this is the facts that are being given. This is your opportunity to get that. Don't forget about the camaraderie, you know, that we always look for from our community. You understand that fellowship, to be able to see your brother and sister that you haven't seen for 2, 3, 4, or maybe more years. You don't know that that'll be the last time you may see them, or they may see you. So as the old man used to say to me, if you have to wait till you can afford to go somewhere, you'll never go. because you'll talk yourself out of it. I want to give you opportunity by share. Give that information once again. How can they register? Where do they have to go to? And everything, and any final remarks that you'd like to make. Bashir?
Again, to register for the event, go to studyalislam.com, and you click on events, and then it will take you to the registration site. And you can register for both in person. And I talked to Fitra this evening, and she said tomorrow there will be a link for those who will be viewing via Zoom. So both options are available to you. She is trying as diligently as she can to have this event so that everyone can take advantage of it and benefit from it. But the
yes,
sister
sir.
Has been working very hard.
I know she has.
If I have the opportunity, Mark, I would like to, if we have the time, I don't know if we have the time.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Bashir. Go ahead.
I think it's very pertinent to this event.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an excerpt from an article by Imam Mawardi Muhammad, which was in the Muslim Journal. And it reads, this religion prepares us to accept responsibility for community life of man on this planet Earth. The great messengers and teachers of God come from mankind, and they put mankind in the right position and on the right road.
Mm-hmm.
But in time, because man is encouraged by religion to engage the world so that it becomes a better world as a home for the human soul, or in trying to protect the human soul, man gets too involved in material things and things of the flesh and forgets what he was given from the messenger or the prophet that started him on the road. Pretty soon, he is so far lost that he has to have another messenger or revivalist or someone to bring him back to where he is supposed to be. This happens, and it has happened and will continue to happen. Muhammad the prophet prophesied that this community would go down and fall under darkness, but it would be revived. He promised his community, and that is us. We are his community, and all of the people who follow the Quran and Islam, knowing, just one moment, I had missed it.
Take your time, Bashir.
Okay. Knowing knowing that it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, there are over 1 billion of us now on earth in most of the countries in the world. Muhammad the Prophet told us that at the head of every 100 years, there would be someone to revive the religion. Now, if he said these things, should we be thinking that the Islamic world is all right all the time? How can it be all right all the time if the prophet said it was going to go into darkness, even after he had guided it right? He had set it up correctly. He himself said it was going to go down. He himself said that at the head of 100 years, there would be someone to revive it, a mujaddid, to bring back the meaning or freshness as it was before. So I wanted to impart that.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. I want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, Allahu Akbar. That was a beautiful way to close out Bashir Assad with that statement from Imam W.D. Muhammad. There's so much that's embodied, so very substantive information. And we should truly be blessed and see ourselves as truly, truly, truly blessed to have had Imam Worthy Muhammad for our leader, but a world leader in terms of the reviving, the restoration of the religion of Al-Islam And we should all be able to bear witness to that. And this is what the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said in terms of going into darkness, becoming unconscious, you know, not consciously aware of God's word, will, and way. That is the role of the Mujaddid, to restore, to revive that. What it was that Allah blessed Prophet Muhammad to even establish in terms of the model community and all. And this is something that you're going to hear many of those speakers that you heard Bashir Assad call off and talk about. Well, Imam Wahdi Muhammad lives in them. And Imam said that you can say, I am Imam W.D. Muhammad. But you have to internalize his vision, the mission that he was on, and we have to pick it up and pick the pace up wherever we are in this country in association of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I want to say to you, my good brother and friend, Bashir Assad, it's been an honor to have you here at the MGM Roundtable. You have an open door policy here with IWDM Radio, and I'm looking to have you back as a future guest here. And I want to say to our radio listening audience, this brother has been around a long time, but he's loaded. Allah has truly blessed him, and I'd like to say that look forward to hearing more from Bashir Assad here on IWDM Radio. So I want to thank you, my brother, for accepting my invitation, and hopefully the radio listening audience have benefited from tuning in and listening in as you represent the founder and CEO of Study Al-Islam, Fitcher Muhammad, and also being a promoter for this historic occasion that will take place, inshallah, God willing, on September the 23rd and 24th in the Windy City of Chicago, Illinois, the historic dinner, the outstanding speaker will be on Friday, and also the outstanding presenters, as you heard the lineup, who you'll be hearing from on the 24th. So, with that being said, please go to studyalislam.com. Yes, sir, Bashir.
Can I go out with this comment?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate what the respect you've given me. I'm a common person in this community.
Imam Wahdi Muhammad said,
he pointed this out. He said, we might not have the scholars that other Islamic communities have, but our common people are more informed than their common people. And I'm just a common person in this community. But we're going to hear some scholars. Now, we have scholars now.
We got some scholars.
We got some scholars.
And we got some scholars, we got some learned people, but I think those students that the imam was talking about, common people, we got a lot more of them in a lot of other communities. We just don't know how blessed, how richly we are blessed in this community. But I think that when you hear some of these persons, some of them will say the same thing in regards to themselves too. So thank you so much, Bashir Assad.
Thank you. Yes, Fitra and Study Al-Islam are very grateful for allowing us to come on and present this. And those who can, be there.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you once again, Bashir Assad, and may Allah continue to bless you and the work that you're doing. And I look forward to seeing you on the 23rd, 24th. Just look for old guy stumbling and bumbling around. You know, that would be me. So there you have it, radio listening audience, as we conclude today's production here on IWDM Radio, as we conclude the MGM Roundtable, a very distinguished, esteemed guest, Bashir Assad, longtime member here in the community, formerly of the Nation of Islam, and the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, giving us a lot of insight and letting us know from Imam Muhammad's excerpts and all why we should be there. We want to give the Imam the future that we know he all, that we know that he would want us to have and respect that he is so deserving of. So we need to be there. So with that being said, the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow will be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. As I said, I will be traveling, going to the DNA, that's the Detroit National Annual Muslim Convention, there in Inkster, Michigan. And Quran Shakir will be putting on an outstanding presentation from the archives, and she may be on live too, so please tune in. So you will have a Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. However, I will not be present, so I don't try to broadcast when I am traveling. But there will be Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, so please tune in. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And want you to tune in for that. Then the day after, it's a lot to Juma Day. If those who are immobilized can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with our very distinguished esteemed Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sai here for Salatu Juma, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with Imam Mikhail Sai here, as he always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. He can be heard here each and every Sunday afternoon for Words Make People, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. At the beginning of the week, the very distinguished and esteemed host of the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, that is Rashid Salam, his returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shahid. The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, where you need to bring your pen and pad for this learning lab. A lot of great terminology that is used and everything. It happens each and every Tuesday night. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And that brings us right back to tonight. Each and every Wednesday with our very distinguished and esteemed host, co-host, that is Dr. Patricia Saldin, and yours truly, Mark Shahid, for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And next week we'll have a very distinguished and esteemed stand-in and sit-in, Rashid Salam. Will be sitting in with me on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We do ask that you tune in. And it begins each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As I always bring very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, the community Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. As you just heard, our beloved brother Bashir Assad, and there'll be more and more very distinguished, esteemed people joining me here on the roundtable. Want to make sure that you don't forget about the DNA. That's the Detroit National Annual Muslim Convention. You still got time to come there. Love to see your face in the place there on our own property for the annual convention there. And please, the historic occasion that will be happening on September 23rd, 24th, that's coming up, you want to be there. This collaboration with Study Al-Islam and also the American Islamic College. Don't forget about the Muslim Journal. It has been the lifeblood of our community. Make sure you keep your subscription up, and if you can afford, to purchase a subscription for a family member, a friend, an associate, a neighbor, a community member, maybe one of the pioneers, or maybe your local library where many people have access to be able to read the Muslim Journal. It would be greatly appreciated. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. Without you, there could not be IWDM Radio. Special thanks go to my engineer, Rashid Salam. This salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Salamu alaikum.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Assalamu alaikum.